Timothy chapter 4 tonight, 1 Timothy chapter number 4, and we're continuing our series on church health and having a healthy church, and we want to be part of a healthy church. And I'll remind you of the little saying that likes to be quoted every once in a while: the church isn't a building, and it's certainly not, it's the people. Well, if the church is going to be healthy, we can't expect the building to be healthy. We as the church must be spiritually healthy, and so we'll continue in that series tonight, and looking forward to seeing what God has for us. We'll be in 1 Timothy chapter number 4, and I'm going to get right into it tonight, not because I have a lot to say, I just don't know if I'm going to run out of energy while I'm saying it. And I'm not 100%, I'll say that, but I do want to get the Bible study out, and I think it'll be a help to us as we continue to strengthen our church. I love seeing what God is doing amongst His church, amongst His people. I love seeing our Sunday morning crowd grow. I love seeing our Sunday night crowd grow. I love seeing our midweek service grow. Great crowd tonight with people out sick, great crowd out tonight, and I like to see that. It means people are growing spiritually. And so it's good to see you tonight. And 1 Timothy chapter number 4, and I want to look at a different aspect tonight, a fairly familiar passage of Scripture if you're familiar with the pastoral epistles. 1 Timothy 4, we'll look at verse number 12. Of course, the Apostle Paul is writing a letter to his son in the faith, Pastor Timothy, giving him instructions. Look with me at verse number 12 of chapter 4 of 1 Timothy. "Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the unbelievers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things, give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine, continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee." Of course, we know that God has preserved His Word. This letter is part of His Word. This is not just for Timothy. This is for all of us. And tonight I want us to notice in verse number 12 when he says, "Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity." He goes on, gives him other instructions. Tonight, I want to teach on this subject: keep thyself alive. Keep thyself alive. Timothy was a young man, younger than Paul. We don't know exactly how old he was. But Paul writes and says, "Let no man despise thy youth, but..." We're going to talk about what comes after that in just a few moments, but let me just say this before we pray. Paul is saying, no excuses. No excuses. If some won't listen to you because you're young, or you don't have the experience of others, no excuses. And tonight I want us to look at that from that aspect. Keep thyself alive. If this church is going to stay alive, we have to keep it alive. Everybody with me? Are you alive tonight? Okay, just checking. And if it's going to stay alive, we have to keep it alive. And it's up to us to do so. If this church is not as alive as it is today, a generation from now, it's not the Bible's fault. It's not God's fault. It's not the Spirit of God's fault. It's not the culture's fault. It's because a group of people decided not to keep it alive. It's up to us to keep it alive. Father, help us tonight as we look at your word. I pray that we'll make the application necessary. May tonight help us. May the scripture tonight, the study tonight, help us today. But may it also help us as we move forward in the years to come. I pray that we would focus on what we can do to have a part in keeping your church healthy so that we can do more for you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So we think about a healthy church doesn't stay healthy just through continual vigilance. We're commanded to be vigilant. We're commanded to be sober. We're commanded to be on guard. But you can be on guard, and that's not going to be enough to keep the church healthy and alive. Well, as long as we're growing, well, growing is good. Growing does not keep us alive. We grow because we are alive. That's what we have to keep and understand. It's personal responsibility. Churches that die one day, they don't just, if I can use this terminology, they don't just blow up and die. They don't just explode. They don't just go away. It doesn't happen just like that. They begin to erode over time. Very few churches, if any of all, wake up one morning and suddenly they just fall apart. There's been things that have been leading up to that. Churches and ministries don't collapse. They begin to drift away from their anchor. They drift away from what they are connected to. How does this happen? Passion for the things of God fade. Commitment wanes. You know, commitment is not a bad word. It's a word we all need to embrace. We all need, you think of, and I'm just going to keep reminding us of this, the New Testament church and those apostles, when they went into a city, they were either going to turn the city upside down for God or they were going to stone them, beat them, imprison them. There was no middle ground. It was going to be one or the other. That took commitment. But the commitment wanes. Prayer weakens. Standards soften. Attendance becomes casual. People begin to disengage. Ministries just coast. And slowly, without announcement, in most cases, even unnoticed, what is health turns into maintenance. Maintenance turns into survival. Then survival turns into decline. Paul understood this when he addressed the things that he addressed with Timothy. He writes to Timothy, who's leading a local church, and he gives him one of the most instructive, important, powerful commands in Scripture to keep the church healthy by Timothy keeping yourself spiritually healthy. He says, take heed. Who's he talking about? Timothy. Take heed of yourself. Give inventory of yourself. In other words, he's saying, Timothy, you stay vigilant. You stay alive. You stay spiritually healthy. Don't you drift. If a church is made up of 500, or 5,000, it can still be just as alive if it stays spiritually healthy. If I can say it like this to you, I'm not trying to lead God's church and to build a church as much as I am just trying to keep the church alive. If the church is alive, God will grow the church. I'm not trying to build a church, I'm trying to keep it alive. What is that? I don't want maintenance. I want life. I want new births. I want growth. Because the moment we have a church that we maintain the status quo, we're actually dying. So I'm not trying to say, well, Pastor, I've been criticized by, by some who would say, well, he's just trying to do too much and he's just trying to build too much. I'm really just trying to keep us alive. I'm trying to keep us in a mode, keep us in a spirit, keep us in an atmosphere where we have to depend on him to do what we have set out to do as a church. Because let me remind us, I don't know if you've paid attention to what's going on in society. You don't have to be much to be better than the status quo. If you are just willing to get out of your pajamas and get dressed to go to Walmart, you're already ahead of half of society. So this is why, and please don't miss this, and you younger generations, don't miss this. This is why Bible-believing, doctrinally sound churches are dying. Because they're not concerned with staying healthy. They're not concerned with staying alive. This church could have died more than a dozen times since I became pastor. It's because there's a long-standing history, and it's easy to say we've fought our battles. We've built our buildings. We've had our adventures. We've started our ministries. Or a new generation who's tired of hearing those stories, but are willing to say, why don't we build our buildings? Why don't we start our ministries? Why don't we ask for miracles? It's really I'm just trying to keep us alive. I'm trying to keep us spiritually healthy so that we don't get into just a coasting, maintaining. Praise the Lord, people are getting saved, and we do praise the Lord for that. But the Word of God returns without void. I mean, God wants people to be saved. And so I think this makes sense. I'm not trying to build a church as much as I'm trying to keep the church alive, because if the church is alive, God grows the church. So my responsibility as a pastor, first to Him, but to God's church, is to lead in a way where we stay spiritually healthy. Means I'm going to get to this in a moment, I'm preaching the Word of God. I'm keeping us from being complacent. Really, pastoring is a balancing act. Are we complacent? Do we need a little nudge? Or do we need to catch our breath? Do we need to, we just had that big day. Or something catastrophic happened in our nation. Where's the feel of this? It's a balancing act, because if we're not careful, we'll spend 5 years healing, and in the process become lethargic, not be able to do what we need to do. Because, you know, you can have a broken leg, and if you're healing it, you don't ever get back on it and limp for a little while, you're not going to be able to use it. So we have to stay healthy. So if you're looking for a church to coast in, this is not the church. I love you. I pray for you. But my responsibility is not to steward over a church and let it die on my watch. I'd rather have 10 alive Christians, spiritually healthy, trying to do what God wants them to do, than a building full of dead Christians. I'd rather relocate 5 more times. Lock the doors, ushers. Then when my time as a pastor is done, deliver the next generation a dead church. We have to stay healthy. Now, all that's pretty good, but let me give us the outline tonight. It's good for us to be reminded. Number one, healthy church requires personal ownership. Well, Pastor, I'm glad you feel that way. But if we're going to have a healthy church, it requires personal ownership. That means from the pastor to everybody else here. It's amazing sometimes, as Christians and as church members, it's like, well, we're all part of the church, Pastor. You're the pastor. We're all part of the church. Well, let's pass that personal responsibility down, too. If we're all part of the church, we're all part of the church. We all have that responsibility. He tells him in verse number 12, we saw it, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example. It doesn't matter, Timothy, if you're young. It doesn't matter if you have critics because of your youth. It doesn't matter if you feel insecure fulfilling that position that God's put you in. It doesn't matter. You be an example. So somebody else isn't being an example, you be an example. Paul doesn't say, well, let's fix the church. He says, no, Timothy, you be an example. And can I help us all tonight? It doesn't do us as a church any good for any of us to sit around and it's like, well, when the church gets fixed, or this person gets fixed, or if that person gets right with God, or that person's spirit needs to get right, or that obstacle in the church, how about you start and just say, I'm going to be an example that somebody else can follow you. We're too busy as Christians fixing somebody else. And if we've all heard this, our mothers told it to us, and then we repeated it and pretended like it doesn't apply to us. If everybody just take care of themselves, that's enough. That's why I don't understand gossips. But you've got enough problems to talk about somebody else's. You got enough issues. Well, not me. I don't have those problems. Well, you ought to hear what people are saying about you. Be the example. Church health, a healthy church, a church doesn't stay alive, that does not start out there. It's in here. We cannot have the mindset that it's just going to happen. Healthy churches are built and maintained by healthy Christians. There's personal responsibility. It's not, well, we'll let the staff do that. Or let the pastor figure that out. We'll let the leadership be the examples. No, it's be thou. Be thou. All of us have that responsibility. There's Paul addresses and says, be thou an example in what? Word, conversation, charity, spirit, faith, purity. None of that takes a title. None of that takes a position. Can you imagine if every Christian just said, I'd like to be an example, not of what I think I should be, of what God says I should be. In word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Can I say it like this, church? And this challenge is for you, it's for me, it's for all of us. Because we want to be healthy, right? I already told you I'm not going to let you get complacent. So there's going to be a challenge in this. Us being a healthy church is not somebody else's job. I'm going to be very straightforward. It's your job. Each and every person of this church, it's your job to keep this church healthy. You know, that's why we pray for one another, we help one another, because truth of the matter is, if we're honest, we're not all on top of our game every day. We have bad days. Our mind lets us down, our body lets us down, our spirit lets us down, this old flesh lets us down, and that's why iron sharpens iron, that's why we pray for one another, that's why we give grace to one another. But we ought to have enough, if I can say it like this, pride in who, where God has placed us in the part. Well, I don't have the pedigree of what, being a sinner? You got that one. We all have that same pedigree. Well, you don't know what's in my past. You mean being a sinner? We've all got that. What does that have to do with being an example? Okay, so you've made some mistakes. Be the example of somebody. When you make a mistake, you get up and you serve and you do and you fulfill the responsibilities that God has instructed us, and that keeps the church healthy. Well, it didn't work out the way I thought it was going to work out. I thought this would happen and this would happen. Okay, so it didn't. But that has nothing to do with, I'm going to be an example of what happens in this situation so that somebody else can say, well, that's the kind of spirit I want. It's personal. It's not somebody else's job. Let me put this, all the other points are going to be just as long, so hang in there. I miss Sunday. I've been needing to talk. Every member, don't miss this. You either strengthen this church or you weaken this church. You strengthen it or you weaken it. Are you an example when the preacher preaches something from the pulpit, from the Word of God that we ought to apply? Are you an example of following? Are you an example of rejecting? Because if you're rejecting it, you're weakening the church. Because there's a kid in the back seat, there's somebody you talk to that sees that. Now, I've said this before. If it's Greg Neal philosophy, you'd be wise to follow it. But you don't have to. You don't have to. But if it's thus saith the Lord, and you reject it, that's a whole different story. I'm not perfect in this, but I try and say, this is my opinion. But I think it's easy to differentiate my opinion from God's Word. And so this is a way to look at it, say, well, I don't think it's that big a deal. If it's not that big a deal, why don't you judge your actions, your words, your separation, all these things by this first point? Does my following, does my adherence, does my spirit strengthen the church or weaken it? Well, pastor, if I was the pastor, I wouldn't do it that way. Fair enough. And nobody come to your church. But if you were the pastor, you could. But because I'm not the pastor, and this is the leadership God has placed in the Emmanuel Baptist Church, I'm going to keep the church healthy. You realize as the pastor that God has established me as the overseer? Meaning I'm supposed to get my way? That's not what that means. You know what it means. It means the overseer, the administrator. But you know, I am not concerned with my opinion getting even heard in every matter. Those that work in leadership will tell you, it's not about my opinion. It's about what's going to be the best for the church. What's the best to keep us healthy? What's the best? Because it's not about me. If it's not about me, it's not about you. So when we make our decisions of what we're going to do, am I being an example? I like to think that God has blessed me as the pastor because I wasn't perfect. But before I became the pastor, I tried to serve as an example. And in whatever capacity, be an example. Anybody can be an example. Anybody can. Number two, a healthy church stays anchored to the Word of God. In verse 13, what does he do? He says, be an example in all those areas. Then he says, till I come. Now, he wasn't coming on the next flight. He didn't Uber. He was, whenever I get there, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. What was he saying? Pay attention to the Word of God. Pay attention to Scripture. The first priority is always Scripture. I like vision. I like strategy. I like planning. I like, you know, if we want to get to a place that I like all that. But that's not near as important as Scripture. You know, I want us to be first class in everything we produce and we print. And I want when people see certain symbols on printed material, they automatically identify. I want all that. But that's not as important as Scripture. I think if you're going to be in ministry, I think personality is important, meaning you got to have one. It doesn't have to be the best. It doesn't have to be the most outgoing. Some of you don't believe it because you only see me here. I'm really an introvert. I really don't like to talk to people. If you don't believe me, just ask the people who work in the office. I don't like to talk to them. It's not my personality. It's them, but that's the illustration I have. No, it's not all personality. What is it? It's Scripture. It's the Word of God because the Word of God feeds us. The Word of God corrects us. The Word of God protects us. The Word of God matures us. The Word of God unifies us. See, when churches drift from preaching and teaching the Bible, sickness, spiritual sickness is coming fast. Can I give you a sign of a sick church, of a weak church? It's also a church that's weak in Scripture. It's shallow preaching. Now, I reject the other extreme of that, trying to get, I'm going to get so far in a word that God hasn't even gotten, and I got to figure all these things out. I believe the Word of God is to edify us. I believe the Word of God, there's some things in that Bible we will never figure out. Because His thoughts are so much higher than our thoughts, and His ways are so much higher than our ways, there's no way our human mind can comprehend it. But we want to learn it. We want to apply it. But the shallow preaching of your best life now, or all these little, you have to love yourself, which is contrary to Scripture, it's shallow preaching. It's a sign of a sick church where entertainment is the focus. You know, in these cults and these emerging churches or cults, where they call themselves Community Baptist or whatever, if it's entertainment focused, it's weak on the Word of God. If you have got to put on a production to keep people's attention, it's because you don't have this. Does God need help? I don't think God needs help. Well, it's just so hard to understand. No, it's not as hard as you want. It's not as hard as you think it is. But when this Word of God is the focus, we don't have to be entertained. By the way, parents, you understand this, but if you're starting to have children or you're new and you don't know this, our children's Sunday school classes, our children program, there's preaching and there's teaching. This coming Sunday, the Sunday school lesson you adults have in your hand will be the same lesson that a four-year-old has. That's how dumb y'all are. No, that's not it. You say, well, they don't understand all that. Well, the teacher's not going to teach it the same way your teacher teaches it. But the Word of God is supernatural, and a child can understand it. A child can get it. It's the focus. Now, they do some things. We're not giving y'all crayons on Sunday. Some of you bring your own anyway, but we're not doing that. The Word of God. There's doctrinal confusion. If there's a church doctrinally confused, it's because the Word of God is not where it should be. Emotionalism without any substance. Now, I could get emotional over that book right there. I think about what God did for me, how Jesus died for me, the pain and suffering I've been through. I'm getting emotional just thinking about that. I get emotional thinking about the promises of Scripture. I get emotional about that. But there's something to that. Some people, when they get emotion, they just bite the lip. Some people, they want to raise a hand. Some people, they want to do a lap. It's emotional. It's on that book. That's why I don't believe you're going to get a word of knowledge. I don't believe that the Holy Spirit shines a light on anything but the Lord Jesus Christ. It ain't about you. It ain't about me. There's no production in this. But the Word of God ought to make us have some emotions. But there ought to be some substance. That's why if you get blessed by a song that's sung on Sunday morning, whether it be the old hymns or whether it's one of our special music or it's the choir, I got no problem with that because there's substance to those songs. There's substance when you talk about Jesus and his shed blood and victories and promises of heaven. There's substance to that. There ought to be some emotion. But if you're just getting up and saying the same five words over and over and over again, you're getting caught up in emotional, that's emotion without substance. That's emotion without the Word of God. There's no conviction. There ought to be conviction. When the Word of God is, if you can read the Word of God day in and day out and never be convicted, you're not honest. You can't read it without being convicted. Anybody else with me out there? No transformation. If you sit under the preaching of the Word of God, you digest it yourself, there will be some transformation in your life. This is why some of the things that you say to other people doesn't wash when it comes to your pastor. It's like, well, I'm doing everything I know I'm supposed to do. It's like I just look at her life. And one or two things is happening. You're not, or that book, all of a sudden, doesn't have power anymore. Spirit of God don't have any transforming power anymore. One of the two things is true. They both can't be true. And so there's got to be some transformation. So if we're going to have a Bible-based, a strong church in Scripture, there's stability. How is it? It doesn't matter if we move locations. We've done that. It doesn't matter, except we'll get cold if we have church outside in a tent. Well, you think about what God has brought us through over the last 13, 14 years. The church in the tent and all the different things that we've done. But this is a stable church. People from the outside don't understand how in the world they have church in a tent. How in the world they have three Sunday morning services. How in the world do they do all of that? What is that thing they have in church in now? What even is that? Oh, I feel so sorry for Emmanuel and Neil. They're all over. No, this is a stable church. This church is more stable than the average church out there with their cathedrals and all those things. You know why? Because this book is stable. This book has never changed. The preaching from it has never wavered. It's been built on the Word of God, the Word of God, the Word of God. There is nothing more stable than the Word that has been settled in heaven for all of eternity. This is a stable church. If God took our building away, you know what we could do? We could still be stable. Because that book's stable, we still have that Word. There's discernment when you have the Bible. There's maturity. There's consistency. There's growth. If we're going to be healthy, a healthy church, we have to be saturated with the Bible. There's a lesson coming up, a Sunday school lesson that I've written, and I talk about other things that help us in our study and growth. We have journals, we have books, we have all those. I don't want to teach that lesson tonight. Nothing takes the priority of Scripture. But the whole point of those things is to take us from a Sunday morning, a Sunday night, a Thursday night into our own personal study, our own personal digestion. We want to saturate us in the Bible. Saturate us in Scripture. Number three. Only have 17 tonight. Number three. A healthy church exercises gifts. Now, can I just say, and I'm not going to teach, I don't have time to teach tonight, an unknown tongue is not a gift. That is not a gift. God does not speak in unknown tongues. Verse 14, neglect not the gift that is in thee. The word neglect means to ignore, to leave unused, to let rust. Many churches are unhealthy, not because of an attack from the devil. They're unhealthy because they neglected what God has put inside of them to serve in His church. I am 100% convinced there are many in here, even in the room tonight, part of our church. It's not because they don't love the Lord. It's not because there's really not a desire to serve Him. But we want to use as an excuse, well, I'm not called or that's not for me. But you know, you have a gift in there that you're not willing to tap into to use in His church. There's how many gifts go unused in the local church? Well, I don't like the practice time. Well, if God put the gift of music in you and you're not using it, you are a poor steward. Don't talk about the health of the church when you're contributing to the sickness by not using the gift God put inside of you. That's just one example. But it's like, well, I don't know what God has put in me. Can I help some of you? There's a lot of people in here that they don't like to talk to people. They just don't like, and it's just because they don't like people. It's their personality. They're an introvert. Do y'all know what I'm talking about? Any introverts in here? You're not really, because you just raised your hand. No, there's introverts in here. But there's some of you, and there's a saying, you could talk to a brick wall. And we're all thinking of somebody right now. All thinking of somebody. Miss Ruth, how are you doing tonight? We're all thinking of somebody. You say, well, that's what can I ever do? Do you realize that you can talk to people? Whatever the gift is that God has given you, and I believe this with my whole heart, every Christian has their gifts to serve Him in the local church. God didn't give you a gift for American Idol. He gave you a gift to sing praises unto Him. We have a good athletic program in our school, but God didn't give you gifts to be in the NBA or do anything else. You still can't beat your 52-year-old pastor, much less go to the NBA. He didn't give you any of that. He gave you gifts that you can use in the church. Whatever it is, some of you, you can use your hands. God's given you gifts. You can build anything. You can fix anything. There's buses that need to be worked on. There's maintenance that needs to be done. There's single moms who don't have the money to change the oil in their car. So instead of passing the plate, God's already put the gift in you. He's put it in you. There's not enough teaching on this, by the way. Stir up the gift in you. Timothy had the gift of administration. Timothy had the gifts that God gave him to be a pastor. It takes those gifts instead of sinners. That's not my gift. What gift did God give you? Some of you, you have a gift. You don't hate children. And you could teach. Some of you said, I want you to take a children's church or do a children's Sunday school class. You would have thought you had died and gone to hell. Kids just are not. You don't even like your own kids. But there's some who, what is it? They say, well, they're just a natural. No, it's a gift God has put in them, because the old folks need a Sunday school teacher, but the young ones need a Sunday school teacher too. I look at some of our elementary Sunday school teachers and our elementary school teachers, and I look at what they do, and I say to myself, I could never do what they do, but I'm sure glad they're doing it. That is their gift. When's the last time that you looked inward and said, God, what have you put in me that I can use. See, I believe if we're really going to be healthy, if we really believe what we say, all these trite things we say of the churches, the people, okay, so what gift do you have that you can contribute with? And by the way, I'm not talking about money. I'm talking about your gift. Well, I like to go out and piddle in my yard and do landscaping. We got shrubs here. It's different than saying, somebody ought to pull those weeds. What gifts do we have? So, Pastor, we need to cut the budget. The best way to do it is for us to look inwardly and say, what can I do to contribute to the church, to be part of the church? It's gifts inward. What has he done? I believe this with my whole heart. I hope you do too. God has brought you here. God has put you part of this church. So if God did that, he knew what was in you. He knew what gift. He knew how you needed to be involved. Don't bury your talent for the Lord. Let me just say that it's not in my notes. I'll show them to you after, and I may not get to the rest of the outline because I think this is important. This is where the Holy Spirit seems to be taking me. If God's put a gift in you and there's a ministry opportunity, that's better than you going and making money. How sad for us to get to the judgment seat of Christ and to rub shoulders with those New Testament Christians because we didn't want to use the gift God gave in us because ministry doesn't pay. Why is it, I mentioned it to Brother Chain today, why is it we expect a missionary going to Africa to live by faith, but one going to Jacksonville or one going to teach English to a bunch of kids shouldn't have to live by faith? Amen. Why is it that one should and one shouldn't? If God's put the gift inside of us, then we ought to use it. I don't want to embarrass them. Mrs. Triplett sits back there. I was going to say Mrs. Nelson, but I want to be nice to her. Mrs. Triplett sits back there. She is an expert on English. She just wanders around here correcting everybody and how they talk. She taught me English. She taught a bunch of you English. That's why we talk good. I've got dozens of books out. She's my editor. She and I say this, and she's gonna have such a big head in the office tomorrow, so I'm gonna have to deal with her. There's nobody in the country I would depend on more than her when it comes to what she does. She could have gone all these years a lot of places and make a lot more money than I'm paying her. The same is true of Mrs. Nelson. The same is true of those that do it. Becky Powell dealing with the books. They are experts at what they do. So why didn't they go for the money? Because God did not give them that gift to fulfill the American dream. God gave them that gift to use in the Emmanuel Baptist Church to train up a generation of young people who can read and write, and in their reading and writing can give the gospel and can articulate the truths of Scripture so that people can understand it, so that another generation can come behind and pick up those truths that were preserved. You're not being reared, young people, to fulfill the American dream. It's to reach in the gift inside of you and say, what is it that God has created me to do, and why has he put me here? It's up to you and God to figure out and where those two come together. You can go other places, but you'll never use your gifts, because if God don't take you there, you're not supposed to be there. See, the church limps along because typically 20% do everything while 80% watch. Now, that's not our percentages, but it is not 100% participation. And I'm not talking about 100% of the people here for a leadership meeting. I'm not talking about 100% of the people in the choir. I'm not talking about 100% of the people surrender for full-time Christian service. I'm talking about 100% of the people saying, God has put something inside of me. If I'm part of his church and I have a responsibility to keep his church healthy, what is it that God has put inside of me that I can contribute to his church so that his church goes larger, his church goes further, so somebody else can benefit by what I can offer. It exercises the gifts. He said, neglect not. See, we're to be servants, not spectators. Workers, not watchers. Ministers, not just members. Everybody has a role. Number four, a healthy church pursues growth intentionally. Verse 15, meditate upon these things, give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. He says, this is action. Meditate. Give thyself wholly. There's profiting. What is this? This deliberate growth. We got to plan on being healthy. We got to plan on growing. Health is not going to happen accidentally. Nobody just wakes up one day stronger. No, there's training. A team preparing to play for a season, they don't just wake up on game day without having done any preparation, any practicing. If they do, they're going to get embarrassed. We don't wake up closer to God without effort. No church becomes vibrant, full of life, without intention. See, as a healthy church, we have to train another generation. New believers have to be discipled. We have to strengthen our weak areas, and we have to improve intentionally. It's not just going to happen. If you're going to grow as a Christian in 2026, you have to be willing to look yourself in the mirror and let the Holy Spirit shine a light on you and be willing to say, I am weak in this area. I am failing in this area of my Christian life. And let the Spirit of God help you grow and strengthen in that area. And He's not going to sprinkle Holy Spirit dust down inside of you. He's going to have you do some spiritual disciplines in your life. It's not just going to happen. You are going to have to decide, I want to grow as a Christian. It's going to happen on purpose. Let me give you an example, and I'll move quickly to the next point so we can get done. We don't just hope to grow. An illustration is recently I've given a giving illustration. Let's all go from 10% to 11% or to 12% or to 15% or give an extra offering. We want to grow that general. You say, well, Pastor, it's uncomfortable when you challenge us to give more. I'd say to that, why? But then how would you know if I didn't say it? How would you grow? How would we grow? Brother Gray, you can relate to this, youth pastor. Well, Pastor, don't talk about money. Well, Pastor, if you had told us there was a need, we could have given to it. Why don't we add anything to our ministry? Well, I'd have to talk about growth. And let me just say, God has paid the bills of the Emmanuel Baptist Church from day one. He will continue to do so. It is His church. It is His responsibility. But what He wants from each one of us is to grow as a Christian. What can we do? It's on purpose. Number five, a healthy church. Everybody okay? A healthy church practices constant self-examination. If we would take heed unto thyself instead of taking heed unto our neighbor, we'd be much better off. He says, watch your life. How many of you can, and don't answer out loud, can honestly say you're watching your spiritual life? He says, watch your doctrine, Timothy. I know you're my protege. I know you're my son in the faith, but you better still watch your doctrine. Because the devil's slick, the devil's sly. Watch your direction, Timothy. See, you change your direction before you change your doctrine. You change your direction before you change your principles and your philosophy. He says, watch your consistency. If we are honest as a church and we want to stay healthy, we're going to vote this in. How many of us want to stay healthy as a church? All in favor? Okay. All opposed? You're out of the church. Okay. We have to be honest enough. Not just the pastor and the deacons and the leadership. They need to answer the question, are we healthy? Everybody must be willing to say, are we healthy? Are we drifting from Scripture? Where are we lax as a church? Where have we let down our guard? We have to ask, have I gotten cold? Say, well, the pulpit seems a little cold. Well, does the church pew seem a little cold? And it may be, in some cases, it ain't because the air's on, you're cold. You may just be cold spiritually. We have to be willing to ask the question, are we growing cold? Are we prayerless? Are we depending on, I've challenged the staff men today, I challenged the Sunday school teachers just 3 hours ago, it seems like, in that meeting. Prepare, pour yourself into it, work harder than anybody else, but you better not neglect prayer. And at the Emmanuel Baptist Church, we know how to do church. We can do church better than anybody else can do church. We know how to do it. It's first class. It's the way it's supposed to be. But without prayer, we must be honest to ask ourselves that question. Are we divided in any way? And if there's division, why is there division? What must be done about the division? Are we still reaching souls like we can, like we should? Say, Pastor, as a church, we need to evaluate that. Okay, let's do that right now. Evaluate it in your own life. What part are you having? Say, well, Pastor, I can't go out in my health. That's fine. Are you praying for it? Are you leaving gospel tracts? Do you say amen when the pastor's preaching on Sunday? Do you use the altar? Are we still dependent on God? Do we want to be healthy? Then we must be willing to ask those questions. You know why men, almost said you, but we don't like going to the doctor because we have to answer questions that we just don't like to ask ourselves. How's your diet? None of your stinking business. Stand up here on that scale. You first. We don't want to fake. You know what? If I don't know that my blood pressure's up, if I don't know that there's something going on, then I don't have to face it. You know how many churches die because of that? You know how many Christians spiritually die because they're unwilling to allow the conviction of the Holy Spirit? They're unwilling to them and the Lord and them and this mirror and be willing to say, have I gotten cold? Have I gotten lax? Because remember, we're all going to contribute to the health or we're going to weaken it. Number 6 and the last one. A healthy church understands the stakes. Not the food stakes. Some of you haven't had supper. Understands what's at stake. Verse 16, take heed unto thyself and unto thy doctrine, continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. You have to save yourself because there's others that'll hear you. But it'll do both. There's a lot at stake. See, preaching in this self-reflection tonight, even some of the things that maybe some of us don't like to think about when it comes to the what gift has God put inside of me. There's a lot at stake. I, as your pastor, want you to stand before Christ one day, having fulfilled the potential that you had for Him. He doesn't care. I don't care if you ever had a title by your name, if you ever got recognized. All that's going to matter, were you faithful? Did you fulfill what it is that God had for you to fulfill? But there's others that are at stake. I don't, with God as my helper, and I have to have His help. I don't ever intend on getting comfortable, complacent, relaxed. The day that happens is the day that I'm done. That's not what a church needs. I don't want to get that way because I want to reach my potential, but I also understand part of my responsibility is I have to understand that there's a generation that's not even here yet. There's a lot at stake. Those that we minister to week in and week out, there's some that are going to come in here. The family that's been visiting that had that tragedy today, there's a lot at stake. A healthy church can comfort. A healthy church can encourage. There's a lot at stake. Many of you, you're where you are because when you were at the bottom, there was a church that was healthy and vibrant. You didn't care if it was in a tent. You didn't care if it was under an oak tree. You didn't care if your kids met on a bus for Sunday school. You knew there was some stability because of the Word of God, and you knew you got help. You knew you got comfort. You knew there was something alive about that place. Look what God's done in your life now. See, it's not about getting comfortable. It's about souls. Pastor, can you just let us rest? I want to do my best to be sensitive in my leadership, but as a church, there are souls dying daily. And the pressure is on us, and it's not a pressure that pastor's putting on you. I want you to hear me clearly tonight. Every new road that's cut, every U-Haul that pulls into town, every apartment complex that seems to be thrown up overnight, every new neighborhood. You remember when this expressway was empty and now it's neighborhood and apartment complex and condos and there's more coming. That's pressure that says the church can't get complacent. The church can't die. The church must stay healthy because there's a lot at stake. So there's suffering families, converts like discipleship. And can I just say this? There's a lot of hurt out there. There's a lot of sorrow. There's a lot of Christians who stumble and fall. And I wish it wasn't this way, but not every church is willing to extend a hand and say, get back up. Serve God. Do what you can. There's a lot at stake. Well, Pastor, if you stand where you're going to stand, you're going to get talked about, and people go, that's okay. There's families at stake. There's children that nobody wants to think about. There's a lot at stake. We have to stay healthy. So to say, well, I'm going to give 12% really isn't a sacrifice when you consider what's at stake. Pastor, the light's going to be turned off? No, the lights aren't going to be turned off. But I want to reach one more family. I want to reach a little bit further. I want to go a little bit further than we're currently going. I want to reach out a little bit further across town. And it takes some money to do that. Oh, we're comfortable. What's at stake? See, when the church is healthy, there's changed lives. Homes are strengthened. Well, there's so much crime. I know how to fix it. Before they get 16, 17, 18, 19, or however, then they get involved in everything else. Why don't we get them in Sunday school when they're 4 and 5 and 6 and 7? Why don't we have somebody that's willing to say, I'll give up some things so I can teach a group of children and teach them that God loves them, teach them that God may have a purpose for them, teach them they didn't just evolve from some amoeba somewhere, they have a purpose. And we cut that off before it ever gets there. It's the 12 stones. There are people that are finding out they didn't need it. They're finding out how much they needed it. And it's just getting started. All that material costs money to print. It's reaching a little further. Well, Pastor, we're comfortable. Well, what's at stake? What if it's your son you've been praying for? What if it's your grandchild that you've been praying for? What if it's your marriage that's broken? There's a lot at stake. I want to be a rescue place for all of those circumstances, but I want to be a place of prevention. In conclusion, we have a responsibility. We cannot drift from where we are. Churches don't fail overnight. The devil's tried to kill this church. Let's not feel special. He's trying to kill every church that's keeping people out of hell. But I do think God has ordained us to do some very unique and specific things. That's not a guarantee of life for us. We can't walk around entitled. We have to determine as a church, we're going to stay healthy. Every member has got to say, I got to be healthy. What can I contribute to keep my church healthy? I don't want to die on my watch. I'm going to contribute. I'm going to do everything I can. They don't fail overnight. We don't fall overnight. We drift slowly. So Paul says, be an example. Stay in the Word. Use your gift. Pastor, if I had $1 million, I'd give it. I don't need you to give $1 million. I'll take it, but I don't need you to. So what do you need? Be an example. That's worth more than $1 million when you put it in perspective. Stay in the Word of God. Use your gift. So, Pastor, if God would just drop some money, God's not going to drop some money off on us. I mean, if he sees fit. Because we don't need to pay some people to do things we can do if we just use our gifts. I mean, he's put everything a church needs, he's put in the church. Use your gift. Grow intentionally. And by the way, I don't care what you've been through. I don't care what pieces God's had to put back together, whether I know about it or don't know about it. You are not a second-class Christian. You are not a second-class member of Emmanuel Baptist Church. You can sit in the back because you want to sleep, but you don't have to sit back there because there's a class system. Because only the ones with halos get to sit up front. Have you seen who's up front? That's not the way it works here. But we just need to do our part in the church. A healthy church isn't built by accident. There's people come, they come to our conference, they visit, and they walk in and say, oh, you feel the Spirit. Do you feel the buzz? You know what that is? The church is alive. I sat, Dr. Tom Wallace was here, that 95-year-old preacher, that Sunday morning sitting right there, and he's seen some things. Really, he's 95. He's seen some things. He's built some churches. He's been around. He leans over to me. He says, I like an alive church. That's a great compliment. I bet he doesn't say that everywhere he goes. I said, yes, it's because of the personality and the stunning leadership of the pastor. He wouldn't have bought that just like you didn't buy it just then. But boy, ain't God good to us. It doesn't happen by accident. Brother Booth was just here, says, man, your people are so easy to preach to. You know why? Because they're used to being preached to. It's because the Word of God keeps its place. I hope this church health series helps all of us, and I want you to see how important you are. Well, if I fell out, nobody would notice me. That's not true, and I think you know it. And if you feel that way, I hope you understand how important you are. How important you are. I know a lot of people like sports, and I'm finishing up. I'm making up from Sunday. You didn't get much Bible on Sunday, so I got to make up for it tonight. If you like sports, you like to watch that team, and you take a team that they are one. All those parts are moving together. They're on the same page. It's just perfect. You know what I'm talking about? No, you're Gator fans. You wouldn't know what I'm talking about, but I forgot what I was going to say now. We'll just end on that. No. Imagine God's church, that institution that he founded. Say, oh, how did a church turn the world upside down? How did it grow? Well, it's recorded how. And it was a group of people who said, we're just going to do what we can do. How we can do it. And they didn't care if it cost them their life. They didn't care if it was their life. We are going to do what we can do for God's church. And what would happen in Jacksonville, Florida? And I'm not fussing at us. God's blessed us. And this is a great group of people. But what if every member got on board? And every member prayed as they could pray. Every member studied this book as they could study this book. Every member gave as God instructed. What if every member gave out a gospel tract this week? What if every member invited somebody to their Sunday school class? How good of a preacher would the pastor be if every member went to their knees this week and lifted their pastor up in prayer? You say, people don't do that? Oh, I know there's people in here that do that. I like to think every member does. But what if every member prayed for one another? What if every member was quick to forgive? Every member offered grace. Every member was the first to raise their hand and volunteer. What if every member yielded to the Spirit of God? I just happen to believe that Jacksonville, Florida would feel that. They would understand the effect. Because if we keep the church healthy, then God will grow the church. God will use us. Well, I don't have any abilities. Just help keep the church healthy. Father, help us to apply these truths. I pray that